So tonight we're going to continue in Galatians, and I'm going to read the first 14 verses from Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then are those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Paul was a master of argument, and not the unimportant arguments that we have, like who's going to win the Super Bowl or what's the best restaurant. Paul's arguments are on something more important to each one of us, namely, how will God treat you in the time we know as forever? Now, I've never liked the word apologetics, even though I know where it came from and what it does mean. But the first thing that goes through my mind is the word apology. And my first thoughts are, I feel it's an apology by me for believing the gospel. Nothing could be further from the truth. In what I read tonight from the book of Galatians, Paul drew on his experience and his learning to present several arguments. I use the word argument not to encourage meaningless discussions about everyday situations, but discussions about the eternal future for each one of us. In the first five verses, which I commented on last week, Paul presented a personal argument relating how God lives in him through the Holy Spirit, which God has provided not only to Paul, but to all of us who have trusted Jesus. But starting in verse 6, Paul presents several arguments based on the Word of God, which had been presented over the last 4,000 years or so before Paul. In this scriptural argument, Paul used the words of Moses to show several things. Abraham was saved by faith. He pointed out that salvation is not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. He wrote that salvation is by faith and not law. And in conclusion, he told us that this salvation comes to us through Christ. So now we'll look at each of these four statements. And yes, I will draw on the words of the Old Testament to show you that these promises have been around since the life of Abraham. We should never judge the scriptures by our experience. We should test our experience by the word of God. First, and it's from Genesis chapter 15, 6. It's very simple. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now the words accounted in Genesis, in Galatians, verse 6, and counted in Genesis, verse 6, mean the same as the word imputed used in Romans. It means to put to one's account. When a sinner puts his trust in Christ, the righteousness of God is put to his account. Along with this, the believer's sins are no longer put to his account. This means that the record is clean before God, and therefore, the believer can never be judged for his sins. The Jewish people were very proud to be the children of Abraham. They thought this relationship guaranteed them eternal salvation. But John the Baptist warned them that their physical descent did not guarantee spiritual life. Because in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, John said, "And do not think that you can say to yourselves, 'We had Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." Jesus made it clear there is a distinction between Abraham's seed physically and Abraham's children spiritually. Some people today still feel that salvation is inherited, but this is not the case. Paul said that salvation is also for the Gentiles. The word heathen in verse 8 of Galatians simply means Gentiles. Paul then repeated the words from Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This promise is fulfilled with the coming of Abraham's physical seed, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God preached the good news to Abraham centuries ago, and Paul brought that same good news to the Galatians, and that was sinners are justified through faith. The logic here is clear. Since God promised to save the Gentiles by faith, it was wrong to do anything to bring the law into the equation. The true children of Abraham is whoever believes in Jesus Christ. When you read God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and yes, I know I read a verse of this a few minutes ago. "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Many different blessings were promised: personal, national, political, universal, and spiritual. And God did make Abraham's name great. He did multiply his descendants. And God did bless those who blessed Abraham. The greatest blessing that God sent through Abraham and the Jewish nation have to do with our eternal salvation. Jesus Christ is the promised seed through whom all nations have been blessed. Paul goes on in verses 10 through 12 to point out that salvation is by faith, not the law. And I'll go back to the Old Testament again in Deuteronomy 27, 26. And Moses wrote, "Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Law demands obedience, and this means all things. You do not get to pick and choose. No person can ever live his life by the rules of the law, and the sinner is guilty before God's judgment. Paul used the words from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. "Keep my decrees and laws, for the man who obeys them will live by them." Doing the law, not just believing it, is what God requires. The law says, do and live. Grace says, believe and live. The history of Israel proves that works righteousness can never save a sinner. Only faith righteousness can do that. Many people today rely on the religion of legal works, while they should enjoy a relationship of love and life by faith in Christ. The law neither justifies a sinner, nor can it give him righteousness. The law cannot provide the gift of the Spirit, and it cannot guarantee the spiritual inheritance that belongs to the children of God. Paul stated the law cannot give life, and the law cannot give liberty. Why then go back into the law? So let's continue. We'll finish up tonight by looking at chapters 13 and 14. And just in case you didn't remember what I read a couple minutes ago, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." These two verses summarize everything Paul has been saying. Question: does the law put sinners under a curse? The answer, yes. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Do you desire the blessing of God through Abraham? It comes through Christ. If you're a Gentile, how do you get the gift of the Spirit? Very simply, Christ unwraps the gift of the Spirit to the Gentiles. There is no reason to go back to Moses, because all you need is in Christ. So back to Deuteronomy again. Deuteronomy 20:33 says, "He that is hanging on a tree is accursed of God. This form of death was a great humiliation to the Jewish people. Jesus was not stoned, which was a typical form of execution by the Jews. He was nailed alive to a tree, to the cross, and left there to die. By dying on the cross, Jesus Christ took the curse of the law, which was meant for us. So now the believer is no longer under the law and all it covers. The blessing which was given to Abraham, justification by faith and the gift of the Spirit, now is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. We were purchased by the blood of Christ because we were slaves. He purchased us that we might be set free, free from slavery to sin. Those that want to add works to faith in order to be justified lead a person back to sin. Salvation is not exchanging one form of bondage for another. Salvation is being set free from the bondage of sin and the law. And we have liberty of God's grace through Christ. What could there be about legalism that can so fascinate a Christian that person could turn from grace back to law? Several things come to mind. Legalism appeals to the flesh. The flesh loves to be religious, to obey the laws, to observe holy occasions, even to fast. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of these things, providing the Holy Spirit provides the motivation. Another thing that religious legalism does is that it holds a fascination for some people because it appeals to the senses. So instead of worshiping God in spirit and in truth, people invent their own system which satisfies their senses. Those that do not understand the phrase walking by faith have to walk by sight or hearing or tasting, smelling, and feeling. True spirit-led worship does not deny the five senses. We see believers. We sing and we hear the hymns. We taste and feel the elements of the Lord's Supper. But these things are but windows through which our faith perceives the eternal. They are not the goal within themselves. The person who depends on religion can measure himself and compare himself to others. This is a method in which people do not rely on their faith, which God has provided, but they rely on their own measurements to evaluate themselves. A true believer, however, measures himself with Christ, not other believers. When we walk with Christ and are guided by His Spirit, there is no room for pride. But a legalist continually boasts about his achievements. There is a fascination to the law, but it is like being led into a trap. Once a believer takes the bait, he finds himself in bondage. It is far better to take a hold of God's promises and rest in His grace. From the beginning of mankind, salvation came by grace through faith. And once being saved, we must live by grace through faith. God's word makes it clear that this is the way to blessing, and the other way is the way that leads back to bondage. And that's it for tonight. Until this week, I never really understood fully how death on a tree or death on the Christ cross was so despised. So all I can say is I'm getting a lot out of this book. I hope you're getting a little bit also. So very shortly, we're going to break.